I want to talk to you this morning, just something that's really the Lord has been speaking to my heart as a husband and as a father. I want to talk to you about the power to bless my house. And even though I mentioned it's something the Lord has been really speaking to me about as a husband and father, if you're not a husband or a father, it still pertains. Amen. It's a word for all of us. I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 19. And again, I want to talk to you about the power to bless my house. Genesis chapter 19, we're going to start with verse 4. Verse 4 says, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, and even Lot, and came near to break the door." Let's pray this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would help me. Father, the things that you have spoken into my heart and you're speaking into my life, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would just help me to convey them now. Father, I'm just asking that the weightiness of the word would begin to rest upon our hearts. And Lord, there would be life in this word this morning. Father, you're going to speak to us about a people that have the power to bring the blessing of God to our dwelling place. Lord, let there be life here, God. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just begin by saying that in a time of prayer, I came to this story in Genesis chapter 19, just going through the reading through the Bible again, and I happened to be at Genesis chapter 19. And as I was reading this story, the Lord really began to stir my heart, particularly when I began to read through verse 9. I really began to feel a stirring there in my heart. And I've tried a few times just to read through the story, but the Lord kept gripping my heart and quickening my heart and bringing me back to verse 9. So as I was reading through verse 9, the Lord began to really speak to me through the last part of the verse. I really sensed something in it God was wanting to say. And he began to speak to me about it. And I want you to look with me at verse 9. We're just going to read the very last part of the verse. It says, "And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door." So what we see here is we see these wicked men pressing upon Lot, and they're pressing upon the house of Lot. They really want to get into this house. And the Lord really began to minister to my heart that this so represents the depravity of our world, represents the wickedness of the society that we live in. It represents just the darkness and the sinfulness of our society, really trying to press in the Christian homes. These sodomites this morning represent everything that makes up our culture, everything that is dark, everything that is sinful, that makes up our culture, trying to press into our Christian homes. See, brothers and sisters, listen. The enemy knows that the breakdown of society begins with the breakdown of the family. Now capture this. The breakdown of the family begins with the breakdown of the Christian values that are in our home. Please capture that. That is so important. I want to say that again. The enemy knows that the breakdown of society begins with the breakdown of the family. And the breakdown of the family begins with the breakdown of the Christian virtues that are in that home. And here's what the Lord really began to speak to my heart. These sodomite men trying to press into Lot's house to get to the angels represents the depravity of our culture, trying to infiltrate our homes to molest, to defile everything in that home that comes from heaven. It represents the depravity of our society trying to press into our homes to defile everything that is of God, everything that is godly in that home. But see, what the Lord has been ministering to my heart is simply this. As a Christian man who has a dwelling place, God has given me the power to love God with all my heart and to set my home, to set my dwelling place apart to the Lord and experience the blessing of God in my dwelling place, in my home. Listen, brothers and sisters. I may not be able to keep the R-rated movies out of the movie theaters, but I can keep them out of my house. Amen. I may not can keep the pagan philosophy of this world out of our universities, but I can keep it out of my house. I may not can stand up in a courtroom and read the Word of God and speak the Word of God. I may not can do that in the courtroom, but I can keep the blessing of the Word of God in my house. And I can keep the blessing of the Word of God in my family. And I'm saying this morning that God has given me the power and He's given you the power to love God with all of our hearts and to set our homes and our dwelling places apart for the honor of God and in return experience the blessing of God. Amen. So let's just ask a question. Well, what is our home intended to be by the Lord? Is it just a place I have to go to when work is over? Is that what my home is? Is that what He intended it to be? No. Let me show you. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look with me at verse 5. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Real briefly, let me ask a question. Where is the word of the Lord supposed to be? In my heart. Now verse 7 says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Beloved, according to the word of God, my house is supposed to be a place where I am training my children and I am nourishing my children in the Word of God. My house is supposed to be a place where I have the freedom to talk to my children about the Word of God, to teach them the Word of God, to speak the Word of God. That's what God has intended my house to be. Understand, I truly believe God is saying that my house is to be the most influential place in the lives of my children. That my house is to be the most impactful place in the lives of my children. There is not a place, including church, that has a greater impact upon the lives of my children than my house. Amen. And listen, I'm not talking about striving here. This message isn't about trying to make parents feel guilty that you're not doing enough in your home. That's not what the message is about. When I say my house is to be the most impactful place in the lives of my children, that's because it's in my house that my children see me walk out my Christian values and my beliefs when no one else is looking. When the world cannot see, it's in my house, my children see what Daddy believes and what Daddy walks in. And also, my house is to be the most impactful place in the lives of my children, because my house is the one place where I have the freedom to speak the things that I want to speak to my children regarding the Word of God. Amen. And what is the power of a Christian home set apart to God? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And one of the truths the Holy Spirit is conveying is this: as a Christian, what you deposit into the lives of your children is stronger than the pull of this world, because it has the weight of heaven on it. Amen. Now listen, I'm not saying kids will never stray. Kids will never wander for a season. There are prodigal sons and daughters. I was one of them. But what I am saying is there will be a day what you have invested in their lives will come to the top, when your home is set apart to the Lord. Amen. Now, what I want to do is I want to look at the blessing that comes upon a home that's truly set apart to the Lord. And to do this, I actually want to use Noah. You know, Noah and his family lived in an ark for over a year. What represents a dwelling place. And there are just some very powerful blessings that you see when you love the Lord with all your heart and you set your house apart to the Lord. So I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. I'm going to read one verse to get us going. Look with me at verse 16. Verse 16 says, and they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Look at the last part of verse 16. Something just struck me there as I was reading through this. The very last part of verse 16 says, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. As God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And what that speaks to me is simply this. The obedient life is the shut-in life. He obeyed the commandment of God, and God shut him in. In other words, listen, when you're walking in loving obedience to the Lord, the enemy has no inroads into your life. Amen. Now, when Noah was shut in with the Lord in the ark, what was happening outside the ark? What was happening outside the ark was simply this. God was judging the world around him, right? The judgment of God was going on. Now, I want to ask a question. Here's the question. This message isn't about judgment. That's another message for another time. But there is a thought I want to go with here. In the New Testament age, what you see in New Testament, when a nation and society absolutely departs from God, removes God, disregards God, what is the judgment of the Lord according to the New Testament? Well, let me just read it to you. It's found in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, Paul writes, wherefore God gave them up. God gave them up. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own bodies. For this cause God gave them up to their vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Beloved, in New Testament, what is God's judgment? When a society and a nation totally disregards God, removes God, puts away God, refuses to acknowledge God in their thoughts, what is his judgment? Simply this. He gives it over to a reprobate mind. You know, I've heard a lot of believers talking about how one day the Lord's going to judge America. And when they talk about the Lord judging America, they have in mind God's going to send fire, or he's going to bring earthquakes. No. God's judgment is this. I'm going to turn you over to a reprobate mind. In other words, you're going to spiral into that place where you have no longer the ability to discern what is absolutely evil from what is absolutely moral and good. And beloved, the evidence that God, the evidence that a nation is quickly on its way to this place of being reprobate, if it's not already there, the evidence of that is when they begin to raise up rulers that are absolutely wicked and have no discernment between what is wicked and what is morally good. When you have leaders being raised up like that, you can know in your heart, if we're not at the place of being a reprobate nation, we are quickly on our way. So let's get back to our story. Noah is in the ark with his family. Let's look at the blessing of God upon a home that's set apart to God's honor. There's five things I quickly want to go through. And I want to begin at the beginning when God first begins to speak to Noah. So go with me to verse 13 in chapter 6. Go with me to chapter 6, verse 13. Verse 13 says, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Now, I really just want to look at the very first part of verse 13. That's what I'm emphasizing. It says, "And God said unto Noah." So you see, right from the very start, the word of God is with Noah. And it's a living word. And beloved, say with me. When you love the Lord and set your home apart to the Lord, there will be life in the word of God. God will have something living to speak to your family. Just the other night, we were at our table, going to have a family devotional time, and I was really tired. I was tired. And in my heart, this is what I said. I'm going to read Psalm 1, pray, and we're going to be through. So we sat around the table. I opened my Bible, read Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man who doesn't walk, sit, or stand in the way of sinners. His delight is in the law of the Lord." And after I got through it, I closed my head and bowed my eyes. But before I could pray, all of a sudden my son Dimir started telling us what it means to be a tree planted by the water. Good son. Good son. And then he said, "And as a tree by the water, its roots reaches out toward the water, our hearts need to reach out toward God." Here I am just trying to get through devotions. And the Spirit of God comes upon my son and begins to speak something with life. I'm telling you, when you love the Lord and you set your home apart for His honor, that home will not lack living word from the Lord. Now, are devotions always like that? No. But there are just key times when the Spirit of God comes and He speaks to our family with something that has life in it. Number two, not only do you have the blessing of His Word, the blessing of safety. Look at chapter 6, verse 14. He says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." So here God gives Noah the wisdom to build a safe ark. He gives him insight in building a safe ark. You see, gopher wood is a wood that's reliable. It does not rot. You know, I researched this out. That's how I know this. It is very reliable wood. It does not rot. And listen, telling Noah to pitch it with mortar within and without, God is telling him how to reinforce the ark in order to keep the water from getting into the ark when the rain is pounding upon the ark. So what he's telling Noah here is he's giving him wisdom how to construct a very safe ark. And beloved, I can tell you as a husband and as a parent, there's nothing more important to me in all the world than knowing my home is safe. And there's nothing more important to me in all the world than when my children lay their head on a pillow to go to bed, they know they are in a safe place. There's nothing more important to me than that. And like God giving Noah the wisdom to keep the violence of the rain from coming in and sinking the ark, God gives a praying man and a praying woman wisdom and how to keep the evil influences out of their home. Amen. You know, I got to see this firsthand growing up as a child. I remember there was a time God so supernaturally protected my home by dealing with my daddy. God spoke to him in a dream one time, and we call it our tornado dream. In the dream, he was building his house, and I was standing next to him watching my daddy build this house, and he was working hard. I mean, he was working hard. He had nails and he had boards. I mean, he was building his house. And look at how hard my dad is working. But I heard something behind me and I turned around, and in the distance I saw a tornado coming. And I turned to my dad and I said, Dad, a tornado is coming and it looks like it's coming toward the house. And my dad said, don't bother me, son. I'm too busy working. So I turn around and the tornado's a lot closer. And I know for a fact now it's in the line of the house. And I turn and I say, Dad, there's a tornado coming. And he says, don't you see I'm busy? I'm working. That happened 3 or 4 times. And finally, the end of the dream, the tornado comes, hits the house, and everything is destroyed. And in that dream, the Lord spoke to my father. And he said, there are things that are beginning to go on in your home, but you're not able to see it because you're too busy working. You're too busy building your ministry. You're too busy with just the things around the house. You're too busy working. And I'm telling you, if you don't stop your busyness and open your eyes and see what's going on in your home, it will have consequences. See, the Lord got my father's attention because there were things in the home he should have been dealing with, but he wasn't dealing with it because he was too busy. And my point is simply this. When you love the Lord and you set your home apart to the Lord, he will protect your house. Even if he needs to give you a rude awakening, he's committed to protecting your home. And thank God for that, right? Let's look at number three. Number three, the blessing of the power of prayer. Look with me at verse 15 and 16. Verse 15 and 16 says, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in the cubit thou shalt finish above. Now just stop there. Here in chapter 6, the Lord is instructing Noah to build an ark. And in verse 16, he tells Noah, in this ark you need to make a window. Now I know that may sound very simple, but this is what we have to understand. Noah didn't just make a window. God opened his mouth and he said, Noah, make a window. Now, whenever God opens his mouth and says something, it's because it's important. So there's something very important here. God had a reason. Noah, you need to make a window. Now, when I begin to think about this, the Holy Spirit really began to speak to me that the next time you find the window, Noah is releasing a dove out of the window. And God began to speak to me simply this. He began to speak to me about the power of prayer. He began to speak to me that when my people pray, they have an open window. And their prayers release the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in the earth. We can move the power of the Holy Spirit in the earth because God has given us an open window. And my point is simply this. Listen. Families should never underestimate the power when they sit down and pray together. Beside the point, my 11-year-old don't always feel like sitting down and praying. That's beside the point. We're going to pray. And families should never underestimate the power that's released when they pray. And I began to think about this. Listen, when he launched that dove flew over a world, an earth that was entirely engulfed by water. Now listen, water represents strengthless places. Doesn't matter how strong you are in yourself, when you step out on water, you're going to sink every time. It represents places man just cannot walk in his own strength. And God began to speak to my heart. He says, Tim, listen, when you pray for your children, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon them and give them strength to walk in places where they will sink. When you pray for your children, don't underestimate the power of prayer in your home. Now listen, does that mean they're going to do it right every time? No, I don't know about your children, but my children have two things. They have curiosity and they have a stubborn sin nature. But yet I know in my heart, when mom and daddy pray for their children, the Holy Spirit hears. And he will be so gracious to come and show them, this is the path that you need to walk, and this is the strength I'm going to give you to walk it. They may not do it right every time, but yet the Holy Spirit hears the prayers of mom and dad, and he will come and help our children when we pray. Number four, two more. When we love the Lord, and we set apart our home, our dwelling, for the honor of God, we have the blessing of the moving of His Spirit. Look with me at verse 18 and 19. It says, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, capture this, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. So the Lord told Noah, Noah, two of every kind of animal is going to come with you in the ark. Now this is what I'm saying. Listen, Noah did not go out there in those woods and lasso those animals and bring them to the ark. He did not go out into the field and lasso that ostrich and drag that ostrich onto the ark. No. The Spirit of God moved upon those animals. The Spirit of God brought those animals. And I'm telling you, when you love the Lord and you set your home apart to the Lord, the Spirit of God is going to move in your home and the Spirit of God is going to move in your family. The world has no idea that in the privacy of your home, the Spirit of God is shaping lives. They have no idea that in the privacy of my home, I have a son and God is in that home and he is shaping his life for his purposes and for his glory. Because the Spirit of God is moving in my house. And number five, we have the blessing of his presence. If I want anything in my home, it's the presence of the Lord. Look with me at chapter 7, verse 1. It says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Here's a question I want to ask. If we were standing out in the yard talking to our neighbor and our kids were running around playing, and we suddenly wanted our kids to go into the house, what would we tell them to do? Go into the house, right? But if we were already in the house, and we wanted our children to come into the house, what would we tell them to do? We tell them, come into the house. And if you'll notice in verse 1, that's what God said. Come into the ark. In other words, this is what the Lord is saying. Noah, my presence is already in here waiting for you. In this great big storm, in this little bitty boat, my presence is going to be with you. I'm already in this ark waiting on you. My presence is here. And beloved, I want to tell you something. the most valuable thing in my house. And I know many of your houses, just let me make it personal, is the presence of the Lord. That's more valuable than anything, is His presence in my home. And just like with Noah, when my family's going through a storm, going through a crisis, whether it's a little storm or a big storm, it's the presence of God that makes the difference in my home. When we're going through a financial struggle, it's the presence of God that makes a difference in my home. When my son's going through something at school, it's the presence of God that makes a difference in my home. When my family's going through cancer, it's the presence of God that makes a difference in my home. When my family's going through the loss of a loved one, it's the presence of God that makes the difference in my home. See, and being Christians doesn't mean I'm exempt from crises, tragedies, losses. But it does mean this. I'll be with your family. And my presence in your home will make the difference. When the world's not around to watch you cry on each other's shoulders, and it's just you and your family, my presence will be there. And it will make the difference. And it will get you through. And you will come out with this testimony. I shall live and not die. And I will come out of this valley declaring the works of God. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, that culture out there is pressing, wanting to get inside that home and defile everything that comes from heaven. But God has given us the power to love Him with all of our hearts, set our home apart for His honor and glory, and experience His blessing on our home. Amen. Stand with me this morning. You don't have to come, Christine. I don't have an altar call. That's unusual, but I don't have one this morning. What I do have is a prayer in my heart. I want to pray for us this morning. Father, in that field praying, you gave me a sobering realization that the depravity of that world and that culture is trying to press into my house, trying to press into my home, trying to find a way to come in to defile everything that's of heaven. Everything that's godly. But Lord, you have given me and you've given your people a power, God, a power to stand in the gap, to make up the breach. God, you've given us the power to love you with all of our hearts and to separate our dwelling places for your honor and your glory. We may not can stop the depravity from deepening in our world, but we can stop it from finding a place in my house. Lord, you've given us that. And I pray, Lord, we would take that charge seriously as Christians, as husbands and wives, as fathers and mothers. We would take that charge seriously. God, let us be a people that love you. And not out of legalism. This isn't a legalistic message. It's out of a love. Out of a love for you and what you've given into our hands, Lord. Lord, out of that love for you, let us keep our dwelling place sanctified, separated unto the Lord. God, not a place where the world can come in and bring defilement. God, help us. To love you with that kind of love. Lord, I can preach a message like this, but if that kind of love is not in the heart, then we'll just cast this message off as some kind of legalistic message. I'm under the new covenant. No, new covenant does not give us license to live in lasciviousness. Help us to love you and to set apart our dwelling place for the honor of God. and in return experience the pricelessness of your blessings upon our home. God, we desire life in the Word. We desire the moving of your Spirit. God, we desire wisdom that keeps my house a safe place. God, we desire your presence. God, thank you for the blessing upon a dwelling that loves you and has set itself apart for your honor. Thank you, God. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.